other yak babies. Sex, presidents, and sometimes books.
Welcome to Yak Babies, the only podcast sponsored by AIDS, Hearing. My name is Aaron. I'm here with my personal pals, Dave.
What?
Brick.
Who?
And Nico.
Hello.
Supposed to yes the end of that one.
No third leg on that bit. This week, Brick, we're talking about unlikable protagonists. Tell us more about this topic.
Well, I think unlikable is maybe not the right...
Unfuckable.
Yeah, well, that's a different...
Hateable.
Well, it's more like, so as we talked...
We're drinking Haterade in this episode?
Yeah. As we talked in previous episodes, it's very difficult for kind of a bastard to carry a book, I guess, right?
You're talking a jerk, not someone who is born out of wedlock.
Yes, I'm talking about jerks of either gender. There's a fine line between, like, you don't want to piss off the reader so much that they don't want to follow the character, right? So, for instance, a book that we read recently and we all reviewed together on this podcast just had the most insufferable narrator, and I don't think any of us would have hung in on that book if we weren't doing it for a reason, right?
Right, for
which was sweet, sweet cash.
Yeah.
But there are books out there who have real shitty characters, not shitty as in, like, poorly depicted, but as in, like, bad people.
Sure.
Like, depictions of just bad people who carry a book. And, in fact, two of my favorite books are examples of this, which is Lolita and Frankenstein. Right? Mm-hmm. So the question is, well, one, what are some examples and why do those books stick with us? And two, what does a writer have to do in order to pull that off? Because I think that's a very difficult thing to do.
The difference between writing a good villain and writing an unlikable protagonist, right? It's not just...
Yeah, that's not the same thing.
Yeah, because I was thinking before pre-roll, I was thinking about examples, and one came out as Hannibal Lecter, but I was like, it's not really the lead character. He's like a bad guy in that story in some ways, I guess in most ways. A very likable protagonist, or sort of engaging protagonist, but not the same thing, right? Examples that came to mind was like Alex from Clockwork Orange, right? A sort of very unlikable protagonist, someone who's, you know, a rapist and murderer, but who were kind of compelled to pay attention to and engage with throughout that novel.
Right.
Patrick Bateman from American Psycho, another sort of unlikable protagonist who is another villain who sort of comes off as charismatic and intriguing.
Right.
Those are my two examples.
When you say Frankenstein, do you mean the doctor or do you mean the monster?
I think in the case of that book, both, right? Okay. Because they're
neither
both
of whom is even the narrator, but
neither of whom is technically the narrator. But I think they both kind of share the role of protagonist, depending on the section of the book. I think the monster probably has a little more pathos,
sure,
than the doctor, but he's a monster, right? Well, or he becomes one, I guess. So he's kind of born looking like one.
But the monster seems like he's kind of pushed into. Become like he starts off like being like pretty chill, and then like it's only because like every single person he sees hates him that he eventually like
But he then starts murdering and killing people, and he gets hell bent on vengeance.
Yeah, well, can't really blame him though.
Well, I mean, that's part of what's good about it, right? Is you can't really blame him, and you know, I think Frankenstein in particular. I think Lolita is a much more complicated maybe example, but I think it's probably true too. I think what it comes down to is creating a character who readers can identify with,
right?
But do so without approving of what they're doing, right? Which I think this is when we were talking on a previous episode about the upcoming Joker movie. I think this is part of the problem. And again, it might be, as Aaron said in that discussion, it might be just we don't know.
Right.
Because it sort of seems like that movie is being positioned as you can identify with him and he's cool.
Right.
Right? Where that's not a movie I want to see. But if it ends up being you can identify with him, he's an evil piece of shit, and then let's unpack like how do you deal with that,
right,
with that dichotomy, then that I think that's pretty interesting. That's certainly a big part of what's great about Lolita, right?
Right.
Whereas there's a lot you can see in him that you'll see in, if not yourself, then people you've known, right? But then he's a total and utter monster, having to balance that, right? And then humor plays into that well as well. It's like, this is funny, but this makes me want to vomit.
Right.
And how do you And having the writing skill to be able to balance that for hundreds of pages is I think very difficult.
Yeah,
I mean it must be. But
is that a first person narrator? Humbert is he?
Yeah.
There's maybe even a further category too of narrators or protagonists who are not relatable and also monstrous or unlikable, but all just charismatic, right? people who you can't relate to, you can't understand necessarily their plight or their mission or what you want to call it. I think this is my example, like Alex from Clockwork Orange. Don't really relate to Alex as a street tough and gang member and sort of violent criminal and rapist, but I find his narration charismatic, right? I think you're supposed to. And so you follow that book because you just want to hear more of what he has to say, and you're sort of following along at the same time, but not finding yourself drawn into that worldview necessarily. That's, I think, another game.
Yeah, too. I don't necessarily mean like drawn into there. I think if charisma works on you, you're inherently finding some sort of connection, right?
Right.
That doesn't mean you're necessarily drawing direct correlations between yourself and that person, but there's something about their message or their behavior or whatever that intrigues you, if not appeals to you.
Right.
Or just their voice, maybe. Like sisters, brothers, right? You don't like the things that they do, but you like them as characters. In large part, I think, because of the voice. Maybe you guys who have read it more recently and probably more often than I have can talk about that. But
every Tarantino character, right?
Yeah, sure.
Right. And there's, I mean, that just kind of highlights the difference between like a narrator or a character being likable and like a real person. Like, because there's a lot of like characters that are likable, but you would never want to actually meet them.
Right, right, right.
Right.
And I think also like there's, for me, the scale of unlikable characters. The worst, my least favorite unlikable character is the character that the author doesn't intend to be unlikable. And it's just like, it's like somebody's trying to write like a funny character or a, you know, a charismatic character, and it just doesn't, you know, seem
right.
Like they seem like a crazy person instead. And my favorite unlikable character is kind of the inverse of that, where it's generally a much more talented author. Like the one that jumps to mind is Pale Fire. The narrator of that is like, at first seems like pretty normal and like relatively likable. And then the more you kind of dig into it, the more of a creep he kind of becomes. Yep. Kind of the same with Humbert.
I mean, it's kind of a running theme in his novels, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's like a good, I like that kind of unlikable character because you have to kind of dig into them to get past their charismatic, because that seems like a real kind of psychopath is one who's charismatic, right, but does fucked up shit.
I think the other example of the other one you're talking about is sort of the character who is supposed to be likable but actually becomes unlikable. And this is, I don't have as an opinion as this novel as a lot of people do, but Catcher in the Rye and Holden Caulfield, right?
Right.
People, I think, really are down on Holden as a character who is unlikable. He's annoying. He's whiny or complaining, that kind of thing.
Right.
But I don't think Salinger intends that to be the case. I think you're supposed to understand Holden and sort of see him as a relatable example of teen angst, whereas he's mostly, I think, received nowadays as annoying and
whiny bitch.
Yeah, exactly. Do you ever conceive characters that way when you write? Do you ever think about characters who are unlikable, or do you strive, or do you find yourself creating characters or at least narrators who are inherently just or moral?
Well, I've had to change some characters in my book based on some level of feedback about them being far too unlikable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was your story. Murder, 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 right?
Yes. Should I read that out loud right now? I don't necessarily want them, I don't need them to be likable, but I don't want them to be so unlikable that there's no connection
right
between the reader and the character.
Same. I almost always default to a character who at least I think is like has reasons, right? Maybe they're not always likable the way I think they are, but I've never intentionally set to be like, this is a story about a bad boy, right? Mm. Not almost. It never, ever comes to mind.
Right.
Which is interesting.
I think reasons is kind of key to this, right?
Yeah.
And it's not just stated reasons. It's the book really needs to make those reasons exist and feel real, right?
Yeah.
You know, like the book that I'm referencing, he had reasons. They just weren't good and they weren't satisfying, and they didn't really seem... It seemed more like the book threw them out there to justify his behavior,
right,
as opposed to it being connected to the central anything of the book, right?
Yes.
Humbert has lots of reasons. The whole first half of the first quarter of the book is him describing in detail the source of his reasons, right?
Right.
And you don't agree with them, but they're so baked into the rest of the book that you can't escape them.
Right.
Right. And I think a lot of times the reasons are dumped by lesser writers, you know, in a couple paragraphs of exposition.
Right.
And then just left at that. Right. And then it's like, well, you're not supposed to like him. That's not good enough. Right.
Yeah, totally. And the difference between those two protagonists in a lot of ways is the protagonist of the novel we're not mentioning, is his reasons are bad and nothing else about him is good either, right? There's no compelling voice. There's no charm. There's no fun. There's no jokes. There's no...
there's jokes.
There's bad jokes.
Yeah.
There's nothing that, at least for us as readers, drew us into this character to be like, oh, this person has a point of view that I want to keep thinking about. But Humbert has those things. He does have a witty and compelling voice. He has jokes. He has a point of view and a persona that you find charming or compelling despite his monstrous reasons that you can't relate to, right? I guess a third example that we all have read is The Friend. We just talked about this book recently. Protagonist who is, I think, kind of unlikable. She's not relatable. She's kind of in this rarefied air of literary society. She's a professor who has professorial concerns. Yes, she's suffering grief and experiencing the loss of a very close and important person to her, but her world isn't necessarily one that we give a shit about, right? And some of her concerns come off as petty and stupid. And I think that's intentional. I think that part of the game of that novel is that this character is someone who really doesn't work. Not that she doesn't work as far as labor, but sort of in terms of connection. Like, she shouldn't be the person that you're thinking about, like, oh, I'm just like her, or I want to be like her. At the same time, I found her voice interesting. And I kept reading it, in part because I eventually found the groove with sort of her thoughts and concerns.
Yeah. And because you had to.
That helps, certainly. Well, I was against it earlier, for sure. Other thoughts?
Well, do we have a preference? Maybe do you prefer to read characters you relate to, or do you prefer a character who is unlikable in a compelling way, the kind that we're talking about?
Yeah, this is a good question, and leads me to another thing I want to bring up as well. I prefer characters I can relate to or sort of accept, right? And on top of that, I think that unlikable protagonist leads to a lot of bad literary criticism. Our response to our reviews of literature. Whereas this book was bad, this person, not even books, this is true of movies, TV, anything, right? Other medium, right? This character had the things they did were bad. They're a bad person. I don't like them. It's like, yeah, that was the point. Like,
yeah.
A lot of criticism focuses on, can you accept this person as your friend or not? And if you can't, then you're.
Yeah.
And that comes up in The Friend, actually. They mention talking about to students about literature, and if the students can't accept the person as someone they believe is like perfectly moral and progressive, then that's out, right? Some of that posturing is reactionary, but some of it's, I don't know, it kind of makes sense, right? That you should be able to accept a protagonist who is not perfect and accept a piece of literature for what it is and not have to worry about everyone making the perfect moral choice every single time in order for literature to succeed or be valuable.
In fact, that would be boring as hell.
Yeah, sure, yeah. Totally.
I prefer the more complicated the characters, the more I'm going to like a book.
Right.
The majority of the time. You know, if I'm really into just, I want a sci-fi plot book, then I'll read that book. But most of the time when I'm reading books, and I guess even in a plot book, what's going to push the cream above the crop there? Is that how that works?
Yeah.
The cream to the top, maybe? Yeah,
you push it.
I'm pushing cream.
Mm-hmm. All day, every day.
Yeah. What's the sponsor on this one?
Let's rein this in. We're so close.
I think it was...
Characters are really what I want out of stories.
Yeah.
And I want complicated ones. I don't want... You know, I think, again, this is probably one of those shows where we just keep calling back to old conversations. But I think one of the things that really set Harry Potter apart when it showed up was in a world that was pretty clearly good and evil...
Hmm.
The characters were very different, and they all had their own sort of, not necessarily interiorities, but they all had their own sort of wants and needs, right? Mm-hmm. And they didn't, not everyone's trajectory was the same, even though they were all on team Kill Voldemort, right?
Right.
And I think stories that are able to, there's plenty of characters in there. There's some that are like famously thought to be bad guys and end up, you know, having a turn and turns out they're helpful all along, right?
Right.
And those are the kind of characters that I'm drawn to.
Yeah, definitely. Well, tell us about your characters you don't like on Twitter at YakBabies and email us at YakBabiesPodcast@gmail.com and go to Patreon.com/YakBabies and pay $1 a month to get access to all of our Patreon goodies. It's like a smorgasbord of fun on Patreon in terms of there's Brother Bros, drafts, there's stories, there's deep dark secrets, there's really some bad stuff too. So check that all out for $1. And figure it out, and then we'll see you later. Yak Babies yakking off.
The Yak Babies would like to send an extra thank you to everyone who listens regularly, and especially to those who have supported on Patreon, past and present, including Michael, Bonnie, and William Howard Taft.